E-Bike Trail Guide, your go-to podcast for exploring the best e-bike trails across the country.
Yep. Join us as we dive into thrilling rides, hidden gems, and e-bike tips for your next adventure.
And just a quick reminder, as always, always check local trail rules before you ride to ensure Class 1 e-bikes are allowed.
So important. Okay, today we're gearing up for an exploration, really a deep dive into the Paint Creek Recreational Trail in southern Ohio.
Right, and this one came straight from you, the listeners. We heard you were looking for e-bike-friendly routes, maybe something with a bit of scenery, a bit of history.
Exactly, and we think this trail fits the bill. We've pulled together some really interesting stuff for this.
Yeah, we have. We've got a firsthand account from a YouTuber, you know, someone who actually rode part of it.
Mm-hmm. Plus the official trail details and then a whole bunch of user reviews from places like All Trails and TrailLink.
So we get a pretty rounded picture, hopefully. The good, the bad, all of it.
That's the plan. Our goal today is basically to give you a complete rundown of what the Paint Creek Trail offers e-bikers. What are the highlights? Why should you consider it?
And also, crucially, what are the potential watch-outs, things to know before you load up the bikes?
Precisely. We want you to be prepared.
Okay, let's dive in. The basics first. Where exactly is this Paint Creek Recreational Trail?
So, you'll find it in southern Ohio. It's roughly an hour's drive south from Columbus.
Okay, southern Ohio. And how long are we talking? What's the distance?
It's a decent length. Comes in at approximately 34.8 miles.
35 miles, give or take. And it connects a few towns.
Yeah, it runs between Washington Courthouse up north.
Okay.
Passes through Frankfort kind of in the middle, and then finishes down south in Chillicothe.
Washington Courthouse, Frankfort, Chillicothe. Got it. Now, the big question for e-bikers, and really any cyclist, the surface, what are we riding on?
Mostly asphalt. It's a classic rail-to-trail conversion.
Ah, okay. So a former railroad line.
Exactly. They acquired the corridor back in 1994, I believe. So you're riding on what used to be the train tracks, essentially.
Which usually means fairly gentle grades.
Generally.
Yes.
But, you know, being asphalt over an old rail bed, sometimes things can get a bit uneven. We'll get into that.
Okay, definitely want to hear about conditions. But first, the e-bike rules. This is key. Are e-bikes allowed? What kind?
Right. This part's actually pretty interesting. It seems the folks managing the Ohio Trail looked over at the Pink Creek Trail in Michigan for guidance.
Oh, another Pink Creek Trail.
Yeah, different trail, same name, up in Michigan. Anyway, Michigan passed legislation back in late 2017, and their trail adopted rules based on that in 2018.
And what did that Michigan legislation say?
Well, it defined the different classes of e-bikes, and importantly, it classified Class 1 and Class 2 e-bikes as, quote, non-motorized.
Non-motorized. That sounds counterintuitive. Let's quickly remind ourselves what Class 1 and 2 are.
Sure. Class 1 gives you pedal assist, so the motor helps only when you're pedaling, and it cuts out at 20 miles per hour.
Okay. Pedal assist up to 20.
And Class 2 has a throttle, meaning it can propel the bike up to 20 miles per hour, whether you're pedaling or not. The motor stops when you hit the brakes, though.
Got it. Pedal assist versus throttle, both capped at 20. So the Ohio Trail took inspiration from this Michigan approach.
It seems so. Based on that influence, the Paint Creek Recreational Trail in Ohio does allow both Class 1 and Class 2 electric bikes for everybody.
Okay, that's great news for a lot of riders. What about Class 3, the faster ones?
Generally, no. Class 3 e-bikes, which assist up to 28 miles per hour while pedaling, are typically prohibited.
But there might be an exception.
Yes, there's a potential exception under their policy for other power-driven mobility devices. So individuals with certain mobility disabilities might be permitted to use a Class 3.
Okay, so for specific cases, it's best to check directly with the trail managers.
Absolutely. Always best to confirm if you're in that situation. But for most e-bike riders out there, Class 1 and Class 2 are good to go. That non-motorized thinking carried over.
Excellent. So we know where it is, how long it is, and that our Class 1 and 2 e-bikes are welcome. Let's talk about the ride itself. What are the highlights? What makes this trail special?
Well, I think the really standout feature, the thing that makes it unique, is its connection to history, deep history.
Oh, yeah. How so?
The trail actually passes right through the Hopewell Mound Group near Chillicothe.
Hopewell Mounds. Okay, tell me more. What is that?
It's part of the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. We're talking massive earthworks built by the Hopewell culture over 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years? Wow, UNESCO site, that's significant.
It really is. The specific part the trail goes near, the Mound City Group, is actually the largest of 8 main earthwork complexes they built in the area. Think huge earthen walls, burial mounds. It's quite something.
So you can actually see this stuff from the bike trail.
You get glimpses. There are remnants nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And importantly, there's an elevated lookout maybe half a mile from the parking lot there with signs explaining what you're looking at. Gives you context.
That's fantastic. So it's not just riding past. You can actually learn something.
Exactly. And if you want more, there's a 2.5-mile interpretive walking trail within the Tark itself. Plus, the visitor center for the Mound City Group isn't far, maybe a 10-minute drive. And other sites like Hopeton Earthworks are nearby, too.
So you could really make a day of it, combine the biking with some serious historical exploration.
You absolutely could. It adds this whole other layer, you know. It's not just about the miles. It's about riding through a landscape shaped by people thousands of years ago. An e-bike lets you cover the ground, but still goes slow enough to kind of soak it in.
That's a great point. So, from ancient history, where does the trail take you next? What's the scenery like after the mounds?
It shifts into more typical southern Ohio rural landscape. You'll be riding through a lot of farmland, open fields.
Okay, so expect some sun exposure there.
Definitely. Pack the sunscreen. But it's not all open fields. There are also lovely wooded sections where the trail runs alongside Paint Creek itself and also parts near the Scioto River, so you do get some nice shady stretches too.
Good. A mix is always nice. What about towns? Any places to stop for a break, grab a bite?
Yeah, the trail goes right through a few small towns. Austin is mentioned as being roughly the halfway point. Good spot for a rest, maybe find some food.
Any specific recommendations pop up?
One reviewer mentioned a newer place, Austin Mill Brewing Co.
Uh-huh. A mid-ride brewery stop. That could be a draw for some folks.
It could be. Then there's Frankfort. Several reviews on Trailink mentioned the Dairy Cone there. It sounds like a classic spot for maybe an ice cream break.
Nice. And Chillicothe at the southern end.
Right, that's the southern terminus. The YouTuber we looked at noted it has a historic district, old buildings. He was planning to look for murals there after his ride.
Murals are always fun to hunt down. Okay, and since it's a rail trail, any cool old railroad stuff still visible?
Yeah, the YouTuber mentioned seeing some reminders, like sections where you could still see multiple lines of old rails in the ground, 5 or 6 parallel lines, apparently.
Oh, cool. Little echoes of the past.
Exactly. And one of the sources also mentioned an old Dayton and Southeastern Railroad bridge from way back in 1871 being part of the trail's history or route. Little pieces of that industrial past are still there.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a lot to see. Ancient history, rural views, small towns, railroad remnants, but let's talk conditions. You hinted it might not be perfectly smooth. What did the reviews say about the pavement?
Yeah, this is where we see some definite themes emerging in the feedback. While it is paved, many, many reviews on both AllTrails and Trailink talk about cracks, potholes.
Uh-oh.
And especially tree root heave, you know, where roots push up the asphalt from underneath.
Oh, yeah, I know that well. Makes for a bumpy ride.
That's the word used frequently.
I'll be.
So something to be really aware of, especially if you're on a bike with narrower tires.
Right. Road bikes might find it a bit jarring. E-bikes with wider tires probably handle it better.
That's the general sense, yeah. Wider tires would definitely help smooth things out a bit.
And what about overall maintenance? Beyond the bumps, weeds, overgrowth?
It seems mixed. Some recent reviews mentioned seeing improvements, which is good, but others still pointed to sections being overgrown, weeds encroaching on the path.
Okay.
And even fallen trees, though some of those comments might refer to side trails, like one in Paint Creek State Park, which is nearby but separate.
Mm.
Still, the main trail maintenance sounds a bit inconsistent depending on when and where people rode.
So maybe manage expectations there. What about finding your way? Is the signage good?
Another point of frequent comment. Many reviewers, again, on both platforms, felt the signage was lacking. Either missing signs or just not clear enough directional markers.
That could be frustrating. Easy to take a wrong turn.
Potentially, yeah. The strong recommendation is definitely to bring a map. Or better yet, use a GPS app on your phone or a dedicated cycling computer. Don't rely solely on the trail signs.
Good practical advice. Essential amenities. Restrooms, water fountains along the actual trail.
Seems limited on the trail itself.
You'll mostly find those facilities in the towns it passes through. Washington Courthouse, Frankfort, Chillicothe's, maybe Austin. So plan accordingly. Carry enough water, especially between towns.
Absolutely crucial, especially with those open, sunny farmland sections. Staying hydrated is key.
And speaking of sun, any other weather things to keep in mind besides bringing sunscreen?
Well, the YouTuber we watched Adventure Time with Bane had a really notable experience with wind.
Oh, yeah. Headwind.
Big time. He was riding east to west, heading towards Washington Courthouse on a section of the trail. And he said he battled a significant headwind the entire day.
Oof. That can make even a flat trail feel like a climb.
Totally. He also mentioned there's a very slight elevation gain going that direction, east to west, which just compounded the effect of the headwind. It definitely impacted his ride, his speed, probably his e-bike battery, too.
Something to factor in, then. Wind can be a real energy sapper. Any safety concerns, road crossings, anything like that.
There are a few spots where the trail briefly uses public roads because they couldn't acquire the original rail corridor right-of-way.
Ah, okay. On-road sections. Are they busy roads?
Generally described as low traffic. But you still need to be alert, obviously. The longest stretch is apparently about 2.5 miles near Washington Courthouse. So just be aware you'll share the road for short bits.
Good to know. Okay, let's circle back to that YouTuber, Bane. What else stood out from his experience? He didn't start right on the Paint Creek Trail, did he?
No, his trip started further east, near the Ohio River, in a place called Shiloh. His larger goal was to get to Xenia, because there's a big network of paved trails centered there.
Right, Ohio has a great trail system in that area.
Exactly. But yeah, his time on the Paint Creek Trail segment was largely defined by that relentless headwind going west.
Did it stop him from reaching Xenia on that trip?
It did, yeah. The wind, plus that slight uphill feel, it just made progress too slow and difficult, so he decided to turn back before getting there.
Shame, but understandable. Did you mention anything he enjoyed about the trail section itself, despite the wind?
He did appreciate seeing the old railroad bits, the remnants of the infrastructure. And he spotted a covered bridge somewhere along his route. Maybe not on the Paint Creek Trail itself, but nearby, which he liked.
Covered bridges are always cool. What about his return trip? Did the wind cooperate then?
Interestingly, yes. When he rode back east along that same section, he actually got a tailwind in some parts.
Ah, what a difference that makes.
Made his progress much, much faster, he said. Really shows how much wind direction matters on those flatter, more open trails. He also mentioned, as we noted, planning to check out the murals in Chillicothe after finishing the biking part of his trip.
So a challenging ride for him on that section, mainly due to weather, but still found some interesting things. How does that compare to the general vibe from the All Trails and Trailink reviews? What's the overall feeling?
You know, despite the complaints about bumps and signage, the overall sentiment in most reviews is still pretty positive. People really do seem to appreciate the scenery, the quiet rural feel.
So the core experience is good, even with the flaws.
It seems that way. The shade in the wooded sections gets a lot of positive mentions. A welcome relief, I imagine. And people definitely highlight the unique points like the Hopewell Mounds and also the Shaw Wetlands, which is another natural area along the route.
Okay. But those recurring themes about needing better maintenance and clearer signs, they're definitely prominent.
Oh, absolutely. They come up again and again. It's clearly something many users feel could be improved. You see that contrast?
Yeah.
People love the idea and the scenery of the trail, but wish the execution in terms of upkeep and navigation was more consistent.
It sounds like a trail with huge potential, maybe just needing a bit more consistent TLC.
That's a really good way to put it. And importantly for our listeners, the consensus is definitely that Class 1 e-bikes are well suited for it. You just need to be ready for those bumps.
Right. Okay, this has been super helpful. We've covered a ton of ground location, rules, history, scenery, conditions, personal stories. Let's try to boil it down. What are the key takeaways for someone thinking about riding the Paint Creek Recreational Trail on their e-bike?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that it offers a really unique blend. You get that peaceful, rural Ohio scenery, the farms, the woods, the creek, but layered with this incredible accessible connection to ancient history via the Hopewell Mounds. That's pretty special.
Definitely a major draw. And Class 1 and 2 e-bikes are welcome.
Yes, that's confirmed. But the second major takeaway is, go prepared. Know that the surface can be bumpy in spots. Don't rely solely on trail signage. Bring a map or GPS.
Right. And pack plenty of water and sun protection, especially for those open stretches. And be aware of limited amenities between towns and those short on-road bits.
Exactly. Plan ahead. Manage your expectations regarding the surface smoothness and signage, but anticipate a rewarding ride in terms of scenery and history. And seriously, try to make time for the Hopewell Culture National Historical Park. It elevates the whole experience.
It sounds like it really does. It makes it more than just exercise or sightseeing.
For sure. It connects you to something much deeper.
So, perhaps a final thought for you to ponder as you plan your next e-bike adventure. How might riding through a landscape shaped by a 2,000-year-old civilization change your perspective? What stories might you hear in the wind along the Paint Creek Trail as you pedal through that history?